Welcome to episode number 352 of the Family Podcast Network. Today we're going to talk a little bit about a tough subject that none of us really enjoy very much. But what do we do about our kids and lying? It's inevitable that every single one of us is going to deal with a little bit of the fact that our kids are going to lie to us from time to time. Is there a way, a good way, that we can encourage honest behavior in our kids without having to punish it out of them? Stay tuned for that and more.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a longtime seasoned parent. There is always something we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is January the 21st, 2015. It is middle of the week Wednesday. That's right. We have made it to the middle of the week. Please, as a disclaimer today, I ask that you guys forgive me if I sound a little stuffy. There's a perfectly good reason for that. I am a little stuffy, so I apologize in advance if we're a little muffled. Topic for today is going to be lying, talking to our kids about lying. That's right. This is one of those conversations that we wish we never had to have, but the reality is that we do. Lying is one of those things that's prevalent out there. We're going to talk a little bit today about where does lying coming from, and if we can kind of have a grasp as to what it comes from, I think it makes it a little easier for us to understand and not go crazy on it and help elicit some of those behaviors that we want from our kid. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Before we do, some quick housekeeping. If you guys want to stay notified of all the new episodes that come out here at the Family Podcast, consider going to thefamilypodcast.com. Put it on the right-hand side. Name and email address. It'll put you on our special list of folks that are able to know exactly when our new show comes out. Make sure you don't miss out on that one show. If you just could have heard it this week, it would have changed everything. Also, if you guys want to support the show, 30 cents per episode, if you feel like you're getting three dimes out of every single one of these shows, consider becoming a P-Tacker. That's right. $5 a month or $50 for an entire year. If you want to save some money, you do get access to stuff that is available only to you guys as members, including all 352 episodes that we have here downloadable onto your phone so that you can listen to them all the time. If you don't want to stream them, if you're out in the middle of nowhere and you don't have a Wi-Fi connection, no problem. It's a part of what we offer you guys. Also, if you guys have any questions, comments, a topic, an article that you want to hear, I want to say thank you to John for shooting me that article. We will be featuring that out here pretty soon on the show. Consider going to thefamilypodcast.com, clicking the Contact Us button. You can go up there and leave a voicemail or a video message if you want to. Obviously, we can't put the video into a podcast. Sorry about that. However, we can extract your audio out of that and put your question directly onto the show. Consider asking us a question. You can also call us 661-PARENT-0. Again, that number is 661-PARENT-0. If you're out and about driving around, you got your phone, grab it. Give us a call. Ask your question. You'll just leave us a voicemail and let us know what your question is, and we'll see about getting it answered. All right, guys, with all of the housekeeping out of the way today, let's jump into our topic for today again, which is going to be lying. It's a conversation that we hate having to have with our kids because I think there's all of us that we see the childlike innocence that our kids come out with and we love it and we want to see that continue to propagate and continue in their lives. And when we're not careful, that we begin to see these kinds of things crop up, and we don't like it, and we don't like it. We don't like the whole process of a lie, and I think a lot of parents take it very, very personally. We see it as something that is very, very deep. We see it as a deep-seated betrayal of our children, and when we're not careful, more often than not, I think that when we run down this line of thinking, though I genuinely can say I get it, I understand, I think in a lot of ways it engenders shame. On our kids' part. And some people say, well, Trey, they did a shameful thing. We're very careful here to discuss the differences between guilt and shame. Guilt is feeling a general remorse for the things that we have done that we know are not right. Guilt is a wonderful thing. Feeling guilty for something that we have done that we knew was not the right thing can, when properly motivated, it can use to push us to do the right thing the next time. Shame, however, has a tendency to cause an overwhelming experience. And when kids feel, well, when humans feel, adults as well, whenever we feel like we are in a state of shame, often that our feelings of guilt have become so overwhelming, we don't feel like there's anything that we can do. Or one might even argue that based off the Arbinger principles, guilt is whenever we feel bad and we're thinking outside of ourselves, we're focusing on the needs of others. Shame is when we're looking inwards at what those feelings are doing to us and how these feelings are overwhelming us, and we're focusing inward on the experiences that we are having as a person. So the ultimate goal that we want to have is we want our kids to feel guilty about the things that they do wrong. And we want them to look for ways to solve the issues whenever they have the guilt, whether it's coming clean and being honest about something, or whether it's even just as simple as doing the right thing when you see it needs to be done. Like, you're supposed to go open a door for someone and you feel that guilt for not doing it, and it motivates you that next time whenever you see that ability to open the door for somebody, that you run and go do it, right? That's the kind of thing that we want in our kid. However, that's not always the case in every single decision, is it? Certainly hasn't been in our kids' lives either. And so we have to kind of process to exactly what it is when a kid lies. So I'm going to walk you guys through just kind of a basic step that comes up, you know, a basic set of steps that come up in my mind when I think about the process of lying. So if you really look at lying, what exactly does motivate lies? There's about three or four different things that I can kind of hit off the top of my head. So let's just talk about those things. The first off is the most obvious, is that it's when kids do something that they are conscientiously aware is wrong. It's the most common kind that I see in anything from young kids all the way up until teens. Frankly, it's what I've worked with full-grown adults when I used to do therapy-type stuff with folks. And, I mean, it's just absolutely normal. We all understand that for every behavior that we perform, there is a consequence, and sometimes those are positive consequences, and sometimes they're negative consequences, and we don't like, nobody likes negative consequences. Nobody likes experiencing negativity, and so a lot of times kids and adults, but kids will establish a pattern that if I do something that is fun but wrong, and I get busted, I get caught for doing it, that sometimes, because I don't want to lose the things through natural consequences, I don't want to lose the things that I love, they use it as an opportunity for them to lie about the things that they did. And we'll talk here in a little bit about what you do in situations like these. Second off, the next reason behind lying is that often kids will fib, they'll lie about things when they want to do something they know you don't approve of. That's another big thing that we see all the way from young kids up. Now, mind you guys, there's some of what we're talking about, and especially once we move to this third one that I'm going to identify, it's even more true. But a lot of times little kids are going to try and practice this, and we're going to approach this kind of from two points, natural lying that little kids do. But what if some of you guys are new listeners and you're just jumping right in feet first and you've got teens and you're seeing some of these things, right? And so when you start moving into upper level, you know, kids should have some level of grasp of the understanding that you should not lie and why. And when we're seeing these things when they're getting older, there's some other issues we have to take into consideration. We'll talk a little bit more of that here in just the next one. But often kids will get into they know that they want to do something that they, you know, that their kids don't want them to do. Well, problematically is, as kids get older, one of the axiomatic things that we state here at the Family Podcast Network is everything in our purest, most simple goal is as our kids come out, they become out completely dependent on us. Our entire goal is to help wean them off their dependency from us. However, we often like the control that we feel it brings to our lives when we can, quote unquote, we can't really, but when we control our kids. So what happens is that as our kids get older, we're supposed to be turning over more and more of this control to them. Well, kids get a whiff of that, and they know they're supposed to deep down inside. I think every teenager, for instance, knows in their nuggets that they are supposed to be able to control themselves, to do the things that they want to do, to make good and bad decisions. But parents will often not let go of this. And sometimes as kids are getting older and older, they want to do certain things. So instead of coming and negotiating with this and finding a middle ground, maybe getting exactly what they want because they just asked, they lie about doing that. I remember when I was a kid that we lived in a house that was right across from a major street, very, very busy street. And the rule was in my family, I could ride over all of the small blocks that were all the way around me. And so we would ride those, but the rule was I could not cross this major highway. Well, every single year, July the 14th would pop, or July 4th would pop up, And we would have the opportunity to go over there and buy fireworks. And so my buddy would always just ride across the street. His parents let him do it. But I could never do it. So one time I finally decided, you know what? I really do want to do this. I think I'm ready for this, and screw them. And I hopped on my bike, rode across the highway. I was fine. I went down there. I bought some fireworks, and I came back and I stuck them in a brown paper bag. I mean, it looks like it should have had a malt 44 liquor in there or something like that. And I come walking in with this clutched to my chest, and I try to beeline to my room as fast as I can. And I hear those words, those dastardly words. "Trey, what was in your hands?" "No." And I come back in there, and I show him. And as far as I'm concerned in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, I just smacked the Pope or something, right? In my mind, I'm feeling like I've done the most dastardly thing ever. And my dad took him, and I remember that he looked at me, and he said, "Listen, son, if you'd have just asked me, I think you're ready to start crossing that street. But I can't let you do it now that you're doing it through a lie." So a lot of times when a kid reaches a point where they're ready to do new things, if they don't feel like they can negotiate, they'll do the wrong thing, and they'll try to take this new behavior. And so when we seek to control our kids as they get older, and it doesn't matter if you feel like, "Oh, I'm not controlling my kid," it's very, very likely if you've got a teen sitting in your house and you're seeing this kind of line going on, that's exactly what they feel like. They feel like you are trying to control them. And of course, you guys know how I feel about control. In terms of controlling your kids, we can't do it. You cannot control your kids. You can, however, teach your kid to control themselves. It's a big piece of what we want them to do. So when our kids reach the stage where they start acting like this, some of the things we have to do is we have to start looking introspectively to ourselves. We've got a kid that feels like they are ready to do these types of things, so much so, they feel so ready for it, that they are willing to jeopardize their consequences to go do it without our approval. So one of the things we have to take into consideration is say, well, my kid's being irresponsible, right? Whose job is it to teach our kids to be responsible? Well, public school, of course. No, by the way, no. It is our job to teach our kids to be responsible in the decisions that they make. We have to start off by being responsible, but we have to foster the relationship with our kids. You know, I get phone calls all the time or emails or whatever else saying, "Trey, I've got this problem with my kids. What do I do?" And you look at it and you think I never can't help but think, I mean, I can't solve this for you. This is way too complex. What you're coming to me is you've got some rocky, uneven, rippled earth, and you're saying, "Trey, show me how to build a house on this." Well, I can help you build a house, but it's probably going to fall over because there's no foundation. And one of the first things that I do to anybody who brings me a problem is I take them to where to start. And if you want to click on the where to start button, you'll see what every single FPN person should start listening to. It's the Heart at War series. You need to go through all 5 of those episodes of the Heart at War series because that is the place you have to start. It's relationship. We say it all the time on the Real Family Guys podcast too. It is all about the relationship. Every single thing that you desire to convey from your kids, from be respectful to me, listen to the things that I ask you to do, be smart, do well, do great in school, all of that stuff that we want to do, there is one ship that goes in between your harbor and their harbor, and that ship is called relationship. We got to have a relationship with our kids. If you want them to start growing up to be responsible, we have to have a healthy relationship with our kids. And yet, most of the time, we do not. Number 3, and this is a rare case. This is more what I see in psychopathy or pathological type stuff that we're talking about here. But sometimes kids will begin to create an incorrect reality of who they are. So these are our kids that, after they do things, there is a psychological component that is actually in the DSM. 4 or 5 now. I can't remember what they've got out now. But we're talking, this is the psychology's Bible, right? Psychology's Bible. But there's a common thing that they're talking about is just odd. There are just some things that are odd, that are out of place, that do not fit with the rest of society. And this is that lying that when you look at, you just can't help but go, why are you lying about this? I absolutely do not understand why you're making a lie about this. It's weird. And it's distorted, and you can't figure it out. Sometimes in younger kids, it's true. I mean, it's just normal. As kids begin to experiment with what they are and what they're learning, they make up tall tales. But as kids get older, we should start to see some of that start to fade out some, right? Some of that's imagination, but sometimes it can become very, very weird, very odd about the thing that they're lying in. Sometimes it's because they're trying to create this distorted perception of who they are because life sucks for them. I know, guys, one of the things I don't think I've ever told y'all, but I willfully choose less sophisticated words on purpose because sometimes I think they're just more powerful. And in this case, this is a good place for it. So when kids feel like their life sucks, sometimes they go and create a place to be safe. Where the wild things are is one example of it. There was a game that I saw just the other day. It was like Frodo and Dodo or something. I don't know. It was a goofy name, but it was about a girl who lived in an abusive home. And she basically went into this imaginary land where things were interesting and fun and whatnot. But the mind will do this. And sometimes kids, whenever they aren't happy with the life that they're living in, they create these false personas, these ways that they act and the ways that they see themselves, and they lie about certain things. In a lot of ways, it's kind of it's like a cry for help. But anyway, this does happen from time to time. We do see it. And we have to kind of at least acknowledge that it's there. So if we acknowledge all of these things, we say, well, yeah, I mean, you got me convinced here, Trey, that obviously that lying is not a good thing. Why is it that we consider it such a difficulty to address lying? Well, I mean, if you really think about the steps here, right? One asked, what happens in a healthy cycle here to helping our kids learn from their lessons, right? The ways that we often typically do it in mainstream parenting today goes in these four steps. Number one, the kid does something that they know is wrong, or they want to do something they know the parents won't ever allow them to do, and so their income, we'll call that the temptation. Now, I don't necessarily mean that in a spiritual sense, but if you are, it works. But they get the idea. The idea is born. Oh man, I could do this, even though I know it's wrong, or you know, I want to be able to do it, even though I know it's not the right thing. Step two, they go ahead and do it, right? So step two is the parent finds out about it, right? What's the first thing we do is we freak out about it sometimes, right? And then we don't allow them, the things that they want, or to do the thing that they want, right? That's step two. Step three, then the parent typically tries to bring some kind of resolution to it. They're stressed out, right? And so they don't do a very good job with it. They don't put the effort into it they need to, and it doesn't turn out very good because they just don't, either they don't have the time or whatever. So what do they jump to? They run right back to our favorites, right? In mainstream parenting, we punish them, right? We add something very uncomfortable to their life to say, you know, here you go. Maybe we take away privileges, you know, now you can't have iPad anymore. You've lost a router or Wi-Fi or that kind of stuff. Or we give them a command of something that they're going to do, and we don't give them any kind of input into what or why, right? And so we kind of get led into step four here, which is the next time that something happens where our kid feels like they're going to like get busted for it, right? What's the first thing they run to? Well, they run to lying, right? They've been through these first three steps 100 times, right? They do something or they want to do something that they know is not okay. We freak out. We don't allow them to do it. And then typically we add some kind of consequence to them, like a punishment or taking away privileges or something like that. Or we give them some kind of thing they have to do that they don't get to have any say in, right? And then so the next time that their lie comes around, it's a lot easier to say, my God, I don't want to go through all of that, man. I would just rather lie about it, right? The potential benefits of lying and getting away with it outweigh the possibility of getting lectured at or getting, you know, these first three steps thrown at them. So we get to this point here where we've moved ourselves, or we've kind of trained the lie into our kids. Some of you guys out there will get real pissy and been out of shape about this. Oh, are you saying that we make our kids lie? No, we do not. We do not. We often teach them to lie. And we often make it very advantageous to lie because of how sucky it is to tell the truth sometimes. And but no, fundamentally, it's our kids' choices, and we're not responsible for that, even if we are responsible for the education they receive about how to handle lying or not lying before that. So what I'm trying to say is I'm not saying you take responsibility for your kids' decisions. What I am saying is you take care and you take responsibility for your decisions and how you raise them about their belief systems to lying. So I want to reframe this idea of lying. Lying is going to happen to us. It doesn't matter whether you want it to or not. Your kid's going to try to lie to you at some point. More than likely. I'm saying that. That is not a definitive. That's more than likely. So we got to ask ourselves, I mean, if it's going to happen anyway, what do we want to use it for, right? Because we can sit there and look at it as a big piling heap of garbage in our lives of our children, or we can see it as like an old palette, right? You know, and you can repurpose an old palette into so many things. And so let's reconceptualize the way we see lying. What can we learn from it, right? One of the number one things that I love the most about working with lying is it helps kids understand exactly how others feel when they get lied to. A lot of times we hide our emotions with that, or worse, we don't hide them, but we mask them under anger, and we just get, you know, just burn your bra off your chest, mad, scalding, you know, we blow up our Adam's apple type thing, whatever, right? We just get so angry that we can't stay focused on what our kids need. And so, you know, one of the things that if we can just keep ourselves soft and we can let our kids understand, hey, you really hurt me. It really hurts me whenever you do things that make me feel like I can't trust you. And I'm telling you, this approach, this mentality of allowing kids to see the damage that it does, it can be very impactful. And I know a lot of people will argue, well, I mean, I don't want them to see this, Trey, because, you know, they see that I'm weakened and I can't handle my emotions, and they'll come back and attack. No, not most of the time. Most of the time, kids feel very comforted by the fact that we struggle with some of the same things that they struggle with. But we need to take that opportunity to be vulnerable with them. That doesn't mean you ushy-gush to them. But it also means that you don't blow up and explode and emote all over them. Give them that opportunity to hear you and to hear you heard out, and let them know, whenever you treat me this way, when you lie to me, this is the effect that it has on me. Let's see. Number two, it teaches the kids the value of values. So what is a value? Well, a value is basically a set of morals. So what's a moral? A moral is a basic belief system about what is right and wrong. A value is something that is so important to you, you actually put it into practice. For us in our household, morally, we believe the right thing is to have thin bodies and to eat right and do well with our body. However, it's obviously not a value as evidenced by our weight, right? So the values are those things that we are important enough to us that we actually practice them. So teaching kids, you know, the core values is important. So when I say values, what do we mean here? You know, at the Family Podcast Network, we don't just mean knowing what's right and wrong and then knowing what we need to do. When we talk about that, we talk about the understanding as to why we do what we do. So if we say in our household, don't yell, we need to understand why we have that moral in our household. Because when our kids are better able to understand it, when they can more logically see what it is that we're telling them, they just have a tendency to do better with it. And our last one is, it increases our kids' ability to be aware that the impact that it has on them, right? Whenever we allow them to see the emotional impact that it causes on the people around them, it allows them to begin to experience that guilt that we talked about before, right? It begins to help them become less, what do they call it, a loss of self-respect and self-esteem, right? We want our kids to feel poorly about themselves for doing that. But we also want to make sure that we implant the idea of retribution very closely in there as well. In our household, one of the very first things that we do when our kids bring us a lie, one of the very first things that we do is we compliment them. Hey, I'm really impressed that you were willing to be so honest with me about this. I'm really impressed. You know, one of the things our kids love to do is they love to watch what they call videos at night. And videos is basically just YouTube recordings by their favorite Minecraft uploaders, like Diamond Minecraft anymore. iBallistic Squid and Stampy Cat. Those are their absolute favorites. I mean, one of Anna's biggest dreams is to wind up playing, you know, Minecraft with Stampy Cat online. It's one of her big dreams. And anyway, we let them watch those movies at night. Well, some of the folks that record those Minecraft videos use some pretty rough language, some GDs and stuff like that, and effing and all that stuff. And you know, and like I said, we don't care if people choose to talk like that. I mean, there's no skin off our nose. But, you know, we have some belief systems about it here in our house that we really want to see our kids attempt to obtain. Not only are we good at enforcing them as parents ourselves, but we have these belief systems. And so, we ask them not to listen to certain people. And I've given them a list. Yes, I sat down with my kid. If you need to, you might want to do headphones at this, but I'm going to be explicit with our word choices. But yeah, I have sat down and said, here's some list of some bad words. Shit, damn it, god damn it, motherfucker, all that kind of stuff. Forgive my language in this, but yes, we sat down, and I know you probably blushed a little bit at that, but we've had this conversation just like that with the kids, and I said, here are a list of some bad words. And I gave them out to them because I want them to be familiar with them. They can't recognize them for what they are if they're unfamiliar with them. And I give them those words. And to whoever it is that I offended for saying those out loud, and you're going to sit in there and send me an email, I'll take it. I was not meaning to offend you. I want you to hear, because I want you to get a little uncomfortable hearing about this, because it is uncomfortable when you have this conversation with your kids. But we've given our kids that list of stuff that they're allowed to do and allowed to watch and not watch. And anyway, the other day, it's the middle of the night, and our kids love these shows, and they've got a couple of their favorite authors they love watching. I Ballistic Squid was one of them. And Anna came downstairs, and she goes, Dad, I need to make a confession. Well, tell me, baby, what's going on? And she goes, I Ballistic Squid said a bad word. I said, oh, okay. All right, what's our rule on that? We can't watch him if he does. But real quick, tell me what the word was. And she goes, Dad, it was crap. And I said, you know what, baby, that is okay. Crap is a popular word around this house as well, and we do not consider that a bad word in our household. So that's not necessarily a bad thing here, but just, be careful where you say it. But we really lauded her on how honest that she was about that, because she knew that the consequence was that she was going to come down here and tell us, and we very might likely tell her she can't watch one of her favorite ones again. But she was willing to be honest. And I'll be honest, frankly, she came back down with this I Ballistic Squid guy and said, yeah, he said this. And it really was one of those words. But because she's bringing these things to us, and we told her this, we said, we want you to know we're going to be willing to trust you with listening to this guy, because you're being so honest and you're coming and telling us about it. So keep that up, right? We made it valuable. So that's one of the things that we do here at the Casa de Gibson. That's probably our main focus. 75% of everything we do when our kids lie is focused on reinforcing when they come tell us the truth, or if they don't, reinforcing, if you just would have come and told me, I probably would have told you yes. Just like Dad did, right? Just like my dad did whenever I bought the fireworks, right? Spent that time saying, listen, if you just would have come and not just taken it on yourself to control the situation and do it anyway without my permission, you could have been here. Some of the other things that we do here at the house on a more sparing amount, and then especially with not nearly as heavy emphasis, but occasionally we do establish consequences, or maybe they lose a privilege or something to that effect, and that is absolutely okay. Right? Lying is so valuable. So long as we keep our mentality for the consequence or the loss of privilege or whatever else in our heads, we can do it. Right? The goal of discipline is to help who do what? In this case, our kid grow. Right? So long as we can see that any consequence or privilege taking away, age or punishment, whatever you want to call it, as long as we can understand that the application of that is about helping our kids grow up to not become consistent liars, then most of the time those will turn out well. But most of the time we also come in defensive and upset and frustrated that they lie to us, and we're just ready to drop Thor's ban hammer on them, right? You are banned from lying forever, right? That rarely ever works. It rarely ever, at least if nothing else, produces the results that we want to see from our kids long term. So I'm not opposed to using consequences, privileges, and loss and all that stuff. We just have to make sure we're doing it for the right reason. I personally recommend that you do not dominate the conversation. It's very easy in these situations to begin lecturing our kids about the moral ineptitude of lying, right? And so we go off on these long tangents and we lose our kids. And I think it's because lying really scares us, as well as it should. And we go off on these long tangents that produce none of the results that we're looking for. So don't lecture your kids is very valuable, right? Typically, lectures is not about teaching and increasing the knowledge of the kids. It's about punishing them for something they did, right, through our nagging or whatever else. I also, in this group, recommend that don't say the word why. Why did you do that? Why are you being like this? Why did you lie to me? Humans just don't respond well to that inquiry. So I recommend, what made you do that? What about this situation made you think it was okay to lie? I mean, I'm confused. But we want to get our kids talking about the lie. I mean, why did you do it? I mean, that's an important question. So it's, you know, we can ask them, what were you trying to do? What were you trying to accomplish by doing this, right? Some of the questions that some people can recommend is if they're in a relationship with a bunch of bad people, you know, you can ask them things like, how would you define a healthy relationship? Because in a situation like that, if we're around people that aren't encouraging us to do more of the things that we want to become, which could be a liar, right? We have to stop and think about these things. So I'm going to kind of do just an in summary here. What is the overarching message that I have for you guys today? The reality is we want our kids to be responsible, and we want to train them to be responsible and to learn from every single mistake that they get and go out and be responsible in their next one. And if we desire for our kids to be responsible, it means one thing that we don't often like to admit to, but we have to in some way make time to help our kids establish becoming more responsible as a person. What I'm saying is, if we want our kids to be responsible, we can't just expect them to pick up on it because we lectured at them. We have to be willing to get down there and show them what honesty looks like, to be honest. It's very hard to teach honesty to a kid if you're lying. I'm telling you, there's something about the dynamics of a house that's in the middle of it that changes. So we want to build a very strong foundation in our kids and understanding why we don't lie and how to tell the truth. Well, all right, guys, that's all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Don't forget to come join Jeff and I this Friday for our next episode of the Real Family Guys Podcast. Jeff is already lobbing those articles at me. It means he's found us something good. Definitely going to come and check that out with us. If nothing else, you guys have a great day, a great week, and we'll see you all on Friday.